Welcome to Praying the Psalms, a daily podcast from Doxa Church here in Madison, Wisconsin. As the church has found itself isolated physically, we've been reading, studying, and praying the Psalms to join ourselves together spiritually. Our goal has been to slow down, get a bigger picture of God and a clearer picture of ourselves, and, most of all, to join ourselves together around the throne of Jesus, who's joined himself to us. To the listener, congratulations, you have made it officially to the penultimate psalm, and thus the penultimate Praying the Psalms episode. This is a bittersweet moment. It's sweet because I got to use the word penultimate, and because we did it. We made it through, well, almost all of the psalms. Maybe this is your first time ever doing that, reading through the whole book of Psalms, and if that's you, man, congrats. That is so cool. And then, of course, it's bitter because it's just been super fun getting to do this every week. I know it's been a highlight of the week for me. I hope that it's been a highlight of the week for you. But seriously, please let me just say before we get into the psalm today, if this has been new for you and like really good for you, please don't let it stop here. You know, if you need to like just start the podcast over, do that. If you want to keep reading something else, but it just really helps to hear the Bible read to you, if you have a Bible app on your phone, I guarantee it's got an audio Bible, many audio Bibles in it. Do that. Maybe jump into a study with a friend, whatever. But like this habit and rhythm doesn't have to stop after tomorrow. So please hear that encouragement and exhortation. On top of that, I hadn't been planning on saying this, but I want to say, I seriously want to encourage you. Like, so the reason for me that I've enjoyed this so much, I think the big one is like, though I often need to be disciplined in my Bible reading, I find that when I get into it, I just like geek out and remember that the Bible is such an incredible book. And so for you, I just want to encourage you, like, get a study Bible, jump into a study with a friend or whatever, and let yourself geek out about the Bible. Because genuinely, it's not just me saying this, it really is that cool and that fascinating. Okay, that said, the fact that I geek out is often the reason that I go over time, so I'm going to try and not do that today. I don't have anything else profound to say, so with that, let's get our hearts right. We're going to be in Psalm 149. We're rounding the corner on this last kind of series of psalms directing us to praise the Lord. And it's been repeating that phrase, praise the Lord. And Psalm 149 today is going to give us another perspective to praise the Lord from another line of thinking to help us do that. So today, I'm going to read this over us. We're going to pause every couple of verses. I've got a couple of words that stood out to me. And then I'm going to give you space to pray to God in your own words based on these themes that we see. So let's jump in, shall we? Psalm 149, starting in verse 1, says this. Praise the Lord. Sing to the Lord a new song, his praise in the assembly of the godly. If there are a couple words that I would use myself to kind of sum up this chunk for me, it's the words freshness and community. This first word, freshness, this is the one that jumped out to me right away and was more obvious to me. And by freshness, I mean this. Look at that first verse again, the first part of it. Sing to the Lord a new song. Perhaps you've noticed that that phrase has come up a lot as we've read through the Psalms, and maybe you've wondered why that is, what's the deal behind that phrase. And I remember when I first became a Christian, I dove headfirst into CCM, like Christian music, right? And I started listening to Christian radio a lot and really loved it for a week, and then lamented because I was like, my local radio station is just playing the same 12 songs over and over. And then I discovered Spotify, and it was great from there. But my point is this. I don't think that that is, like, what God is thinking, right? Like, oh, my gosh, come on, new song. Like, let's get some new material. No. I think that probably sing to the Lord a new song is said so much because A, he deserves it, and B, we need it. So by that, I mean our singing and our praying is both to give God the honor that he deserves, but also to engage our hearts with him in a real, new, fresh way. And let me be clear, I don't mean by that like, you know, I just want to hear something new, so I want a new spin on Christianity or something like that. I don't mean that. Honestly, this is why I always encourage you to pray in your own words, because when you talk to a friend, you talk in your own words, and so you're not regurgitating just some pleasantry. Maybe you do that when you like say hi to someone in the grocery store or something, but with a real, like, intimate, long friendship, you're just real in new ways. Okay, so that's sing a new song. Next, community. This convicted me because it didn't jump out to me at first, and I didn't really catch it until my second time reading through the psalm. But I like how the New King James put it. It says, and his praise in the assembly of the saints. And of course, the ESV says his praise in the assembly of the godly. I think that this tells us a couple things. I think that this tells us where we should praise God and also what community is for. So praising God by yourself is awesome and absolutely, please keep doing that if you're doing that. Maybe this podcast has helped you do that for the first time. Absolutely, please, please, please keep doing that. Jesus himself even taught, right, go into your closet and pray so that you're not making a show of it. But I do think that there is also something significant and profound and important about praising God in community. And we could list off ways that we think this makes sense and like ways that we think like, oh, I think that God designed it because it does this in our hearts, etc. And so maybe you have like a reason for you that you're like, that makes sense. Or maybe this is just like a divine mystery of like, why do I have to praise God in community? But regardless, God clearly desires it for us. And if he designed it, then that surely means that it's for our good. So we ought to do it. And at different times in different places, this is going to look different, right? When I spent a summer overseas and most of my time was spent with just the same three people, praising God looked very, very different than the megachurch that I grew up with, right? And then even for us, back in April, May, worshiping God looked very, very different. And, you know, while I never want to live through this pandemic again, I do look back with some like nostalgia or fondness on those moments and just think like, man, how cool was it that the people of God were able to pivot so quickly on their feet and say, if we've got to do this from home for now, we can do that. So my point is just this, whatever it looks like, God wants us to hold on to community, to praise him there, and to let community, at least the Christian community, be a spot, not just for talking to each other or talking at each other, but praising to God, right? Not just circles facing inward at each other, but rows facing together at God. So I want to give you just a moment of silence now to pray in your own words that God would help you to praise him in a new, fresh way, and that he would use community to do that. Look with me at verse 2. Let Israel be glad in his maker. Let the children of Zion rejoice in their king. Let them praise his name with dancing, making melody to him with tambourine and lyre. For the Lord takes pleasure in his people. He adorns the humble with salvation. If I could sum these up, I guess I don't know if it's so much a summary as just like word association that helps this stick into my brain. The words that came to my mind were maker, king, delight, and beauty. So first, maker. Be thankful that we know our maker. Not just some vague like energy out there in the sky, but the personal creator and sustainer of everything, and specifically us. And then next, praise your king. God is king. Jesus is your king. And if you have committed your life to him, he has purchased you with his blood. Something that I say to my connection group sometimes, and I know maybe it's cheesy or dumb or whatever, but I will tell them, if Jesus is king of your entire life and of the whole cosmos, then that means that Jesus is king of your kitchen sink, which means that if you're married or you have roommates, Jesus would be honored by you cleaning the dishes. And that sounds dumb, or maybe at best it sounds like cute vacation Bible school lesson. But my point is this. We will arbitrarily be like, this thing's too small for Jesus. Jesus is the king of everything, man. So worship him as a king. I'm getting off topic again. Jesus is king, and that's awesome. Delight. God loves you. He delights in you. When he thinks about you, when your name pops into his head, he smiles. John puts it like this: God so loved the world that he what? Gave his only son so that whoever believes in him could have eternal life. And it's not lost on him that you're not perfect, right? I know when I read the Bible and I read, you know, God opening up the sky and saying about Jesus, this is my son in whom I am well pleased, in whom I delight, listen to him. I'm like, yeah, well, he deserves it. How could God delight in me? Well, because when Jesus died for me and I accepted that gift of grace, what was true of Jesus became true of me. And so praise God because he delights in you. And lastly, beauty. He adorns the humble with salvation. I love how the New King James Version puts it. It says, he will beautify the humble with salvation. Beautify. So I'm going to give you a second to pray. And then I'm going to read another passage that kind of encapsulates this idea of beautifying the humble. And then that's going to lead us into our last section. But so for now, pray that God would help you see him as maker king, that he delights in you, and that he adorns you when you're humbled at the foot of the cross. He adorns the humble with salvation. Jesus said it like this: blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be satisfied. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when others revile you and persecute you and utter all kinds of evil against you falsely on my account. Rejoice and be glad, for your reward is great in heaven. For so they persecuted the prophets who were before you. That leads us right into this last section, which I just wrote over: we win. Rejoice in confidence and fully. So verse 5 says, let the godly exult in glory. Let them sing for joy on their beds. Let the high praises of God be in their throats and two-edged swords in their hands to execute vengeance on the nations and punishments on the peoples, to bind their kings with chains and their nobles with fetters of iron, to execute on them the judgment written. This is honor for all his godly ones. The God of justice and righteousness is going to win. It's already a done deal. We're on his side. And so rejoice in confidence. Confidence that the war is over. We won, right? I mean, this just like, oh, I could just go off. The most recent movie-going experience where I felt this. Sorry if you're not into the Marvel movies, but the portal scene, right? You're like, oh my gosh, Captain America's not alone. They're going to win. Maybe it's Lord of the Rings. I can only think of like fantasy stuff, but you get the point. You know, you think of World War II images of people freaking out, war is over, we won. So we can rejoice confidently, but more than that, we can rejoice fully. So I want to ask, how do you express yourself most fully? What gets your most reaction, right? Is it sports? Is it movies? Is it music? And does God get that too? Maybe for you, your, you know, reaction to the beauty of life is more tame, like someone watching golf. That's fine. But does God get that same level of engagement? Or maybe, you know, you're laughing, you're screaming, you're crying. Does God get that too? Are you not embarrassed to worship him? And this kind of like, you know, soldier imagery, as always, can maybe seem weird to you, but in the kingdom of Israel, the thing that, you know, set their soldiers apart was that they could do what they did out of worship for God and out of a heart that wanted to honor him and with the confidence that he would see the task through. And so for us, the mission before us to follow Christ and, as he puts it, to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that Jesus has taught us. We can do that in confidence, knowing that God's already won. And so when we rejoice in him, we can do that in confidence too. So take a second and just pray that God would turn your heart to be one that can praise him with absolute full confidence and fully in whatever circumstances life brings. God, I thank you for your Psalms. I pray, God, that everything that was of you from this whole podcast series would stick in people's minds, God. Anything that's distracting or convoluted or whatever, would it just kind of fall away like dross? Jesus, most of all, I just pray that we would be close to you, that we would draw near to you in this season, God, and that you would put in all of us a hunger for your word, God, because we know that you'll show up if we come to you. Jesus, it's only because of you that we can pray these things. So thank you. Amen.